Well, good morning. I'm going to blab for a minute while the choir gets back in so they can all hear it. But I hope you all have a chance to look at the newsletter for this month. We have a number of pictures in there from the events that have unfolded over this past month, from the Feed the Starving Children event, Salvation Army event, the youth retreat up in the hills. It was just really great to see all these events unfolding, and you are participating and supporting these things. And at times, if you're not able to be there, and particularly with the youth events, if you're not up on the hills, it's nice to see what's happening. But please ask questions, how those things are unfolding, how it is that you can be involved in it, and prayer for it. We certainly want prayers for our mission events on the road ahead, and we're going to be doing some expansion on our youth group simply because of size. And please be in prayer for our youth group. But you want to ask Mike, how is it going there? Please just talk to him, see how it's going, how it is you might be able to help. We've got a number of young men and women who are part of the youth of this church and the community of this church, the community in which this church is in, just coming regularly on Wednesday nights to be a part of this, and we're excited about what's going on and the impact that we can make. So please be in prayer for those things. And that's a good man right there. So every Mother's Day and Father's Day, at least for the past 5 years, we've just kind of been doing some testimonies. But they haven't been random. They haven't just been, you know, names pulled out of a hat. There isn't a hierarchy of people that speak and don't speak, as it were. It's really actually listening as best as we can to the leading of the Spirit throughout the past year, and to ask the question, what is it that the church, our church in particular, could hear from the people who sit in the pews? We've asked the question in the past, why do I believe this Christian faith? And heard from men and women describe that. We've heard the question asked, why do I serve? Why is it important for me to serve in the church? And heard about that. Why does this church and being a part of a church matter to me? And we've talked about that. And what does it mean to be, as best as I can tell, a man of God or a woman of God? And we've heard people describe that. And so in this year, in the midst of a lot of things happening for a lot of people, a question that was kept coming up was, why do I trust God? I believe it, but times can be difficult, times can be a struggle, times can be making me question things that I thought were clear for me. So we want to hear from people, why is it that I trust in God? And so we'll have Corinne come up first, Corinne Thompson, and then Patty Mayfield. And for both of you, we'll... Corinne, I'll lower this down for you. But do speak really closely into the microphone. And thanks so much for talking today on why you trust God.
You can lower it. Thanks. I asked my husband, can you even see me over the podium? He says, you're not that short. Thank you. Is that good? My name is Corinne, and my husband Rich and I are blessed to have three darling daughters. They are ages 8, 5, and 3. And these girls are never running out of words to say. We also have a 1-year-old son who has no words, but seems to talk more or at least louder than his sisters. You've probably heard him at church. Rich and I are at the stage of parenting where communication between the two of us only happens in the form of 2-to-3-word sentences. For example, I got it, your turn, he's wet, I'm fine, see ya, love ya, and our most common exchange these days is, we're late! They say you relax a little more with each child that you have. The women in our family, we like the story where your firstborn drops their cracker on the floor and you pick it up and throw it in the trash, and the second child drops their cracker, you pick it up, dust it off, and hand it back to them, and the third child drops their cracker, and you kick it over to them. I guess I've learned that the fourth, this is what happens. Just yesterday, my son saw something on the ground, sat down, and started eating it. Once my mother-in-law and I saw that it was a chip, we said to each other, "Oh, good, Nathan found a snack for himself." Life is busy, but so much fun. When Troy asked me to talk today, he told me the topic was why I trust God, to which I replied, "You mean why I should trust God?" See, when God made me, he gave me the great gift of planning and organization. Those are my nice words for controlling. I was the kid who in early elementary school would label my clothes hangers in the closet with tags that read Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so on. It's true. I like to make my list and plans on a regular basis from the time I could write, and I have a hard time looking at things and not seeing the details. My mom and dad still joke because I would ask them almost daily what was for dinner next Thursday, just so I could get my mind in order. All these confessions. Not only am I a planner, but my parents are planners and organizers as well. When my siblings and I were very young, my mom and stepdad were actually in two crash landings while traveling, just the two of them. They decided that after that, they would never fly together on the same flight if the whole family wasn't together, but rather stagger their trips so as to be sure that one of them was still alive while we were still young children. So being a controller at heart and being raised by planners, I wish I could say that trusting God comes very naturally and is very easy for me to do. I would love to tell you that when life seems out of control and crazy, that it is always my first response to turn to God and tell him I trust him completely. But that would be a lie. One of the things that is so difficult for me as a stay-at-home mommy to four young kids is to trust God that there is purpose in what I do every day, and that the stage of life I am at is right where I am supposed to be. Oftentimes, at this stage of mommyhood, it is easy to feel as though I have accomplished absolutely nothing in a day, and yet I go to bed exhausted and worn out from all of that nothing. Last week, I heard our son Nathan making noises in his crib early in the morning. He sounded like he was happy talking to himself, so I finished getting myself ready, and then I went in to get him. As I opened the door, I was greeted with the most horrendous aroma. As I got closer to the crib, I realized that Nathan had decided to try his hand at artwork. His tool was the ample supply of brown liquid oozing out of the back of his diaper, and his canvas was the crib. The next hour was spent changing, bathing, laundering, and sanitizing that masterpiece. I felt as though the day should be half over, and yet it was only 7 o'clock. Now, I know that this is a tiny hiccup in my day and that in the big scheme of life, it means absolutely nothing. But I like to believe that as I'm learning to trust God's plan in these little things, and as I practice making trust my first response, God is preparing me to trust him in the big things. I tend to be a grass-is-always-greener person. It's easy to look at others and think that what they have is better or what they're doing with their kids is more fun. I struggle with this regularly, and it wasn't until recently that I heard God say to me, "Corinne, I have put you here now with these young children for a purpose, but you will miss out on all the blessings and lessons I have for you if you're always longing to be at the next stage." I love that saying, "Bloom where you are planted." Last night, I was following Nathan around outside. The boy never stopped moving. And as I watched him cross over bark to concrete to grass, I started to see his pattern. Take 10 steps, fall. Take another 10 steps, fall. But a few times, as he fell, he ended up in this sort of barrel roll, and he found himself lying on his back, looking up at the sky, and he would just sort of lay there and smile. And after a moment, he'd get back up again and start over. Instead of fighting it or getting upset, he just rolled with it and found the fun in it. No pun intended, sorry. And it's true, I find myself enjoying my children and the place I am in life so much more when I rest in God's plans and purposes for my life. One day, Rich and I will go to the movies with our kids, and everyone will be sitting and watching the movie the whole time. And one day, They won't be begging me to carry them or rest with them at night, so I'm going to make the most of every chance I get while they are young. I have to believe that by loving my kids in these little things, I am sowing seeds of love that will grow into an understanding of their Heavenly Father's unconditional, never stopping, never leaving, never shaming love. I trust that God is using me to be an example to my children in surrendering my plans for each day to the one who has the master plan. So the question for me really isn't why do I trust God, but why wouldn't I trust God? He has proven himself trustworthy every time. If I've learned anything by being a mom, it's that life is totally out of my hands. I can't control my kids' health or safety all the time. I can't control even how they respond to God's call in their lives. While I'm a great planner, God is the perfect planner. He knows the beginning and the end, and he is not surprised by anything. And he loves us more than we can understand. And he wants the best for us. I believe it's okay to pray for God's protection for our loved ones, but I heard someone say once that the very thing we pray for protection from is quite possibly the thing that might draw a person closer in their walk with God. So now my daily prayer for my family is that God would give us the courage and the strength to handle whatever comes our way that day. I have to remember each morning that things might not go the way I hope they will, and to ask God to let his plans prevail in my life. Once I give him my family and the day ahead, I can let my feet hit the floor and walk in courage and strength with peace and hope for a day that will glorify him. As Proverbs 16:3-4 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end. I wish you a happy Mother's Day.
Good morning, I'm Patty Mayfield. When Troy asked me to speak this morning, I was delighted because the Lord has been good to me. The reason I trust God is, first of all, I trust God because he loved me before I even knew he existed. Although I wasn't raised in a Christian home, I knew my grandparents prayed for me daily. When I was 10, they gave me a mirror with an inscription from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I memorized the verse, giving no regard to the immensity of the meaning. I trust God because he directed my path as a confused teenager. In high school, I prided myself on my analytical thinking. I believed that man in his weak state created gods to explain the forces of nature that he couldn't understand. I concluded that the God that Christians worshiped was just one all-purpose God. I considered myself an atheist with no need of a crutch to get me through life. At the age of 17, decisions loomed over me. Work, relationships, school. I had no direction for my life. When a former boyfriend asked me, "Do you understand the theories of Einstein?" I admitted that Einstein was way above my head. He further questioned, "Then how do you expect to understand the complexities of God?" That was a crucial moment for me. My heart softened, and I began to welcome input from my Christian friends. I trust God because he picked an ideal mate for me. One of those Christians was a friend of my cousin's. Scott attended seminary and gave me literature. Excuse me. Scott attended seminary and gave me literature to read, including a Living Bible. We started dating, even though his pastor admonished him about being unequally yoked. Not to be deterred, Scott waited patiently while the Lord spoke to my prideful spirit. I answered the Lord's call in my life in September of 1978. Alone in my room, I read a short prayer from a tract I had been given. Like the disciple Thomas, I needed physical evidence that God existed. I asked the Lord to make his presence known to me and help me make wise life decisions. A few days later, my purse was stolen and the bank froze my checking account. I took it as a sign not to make a deposit on the design school I had planned to attend. The following month, Scott moved to rural Condon, Oregon, to pastor his first church. We married 4 months later. I trust God because he changed the course of my career. I learned how to draft plans in high school and took refresher courses over the years. When we moved to Oakdale, a friend suggested I ask a local designer for a job. The day I called Deanne, she had planned to hire another candidate, but decided I was a better fit. After she moved away, I held a number of customer service jobs. I really missed design work, but didn't have the money to go back to school to learn computer drafting. After I begged the Lord, he provided a job that paid me to go to night school to learn AutoCAD. A third time, a friend of the family started his own company and needed a draftsman. At the same time, I was interviewing for another job. God's timing is perfect, but we always don't see it at the moment. I trust God because he gave me two beautiful children. I have experienced the miracle of birth twice. I have been blessed with children who have taught me the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. My children have made my life. My children have made my life rich and fulfilling. I trust God because he provided a wonderful Christian community to nurture me. I have been blessed with sage advice from my church parents and grandparents and formed lasting friendships with my brothers and sisters in the Lord, weeping with them in their sorrows and rejoicing with them in their triumphs. During and after Scott's illness, the Lord provided volunteers to fix our fence, adjust our sprinklers. Helpful friends brought casseroles and flowers. Skilled nurses consoled us, and spirit-filled souls prayed with us and read scripture. 8 months later, I continue to receive calls, notes of encouragement, invitations out, often when I'm at my lowest point. I trust God because he has assured me that my husband is in heaven and that I will join him someday. When Scott was ill, the Lord provided peace and calm during the most violent of storms. He tells us in Scripture that he has prepared a place for us in heaven where there are no more tears. And finally, I trust God because he has a plan and a purpose for my life. In 1 Peter 1:6, the Lord tells us, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. I don't know what the Lord has in store for me, but when I look back on my life, I can see that he has been present in every circumstance. He has proved faithful to carry me through trials and hardships, as well as seasons of joy. After Scott's passing, I immediately wanted to move closer to my kids in Southern California. But in waiting on the Lord, I've received a tremendous blessing from my church family. We are given the family we are born into, but the Lord has also provided a spiritual family for our benefit. On this Mother's Day, I am thankful not only for my birth family, but for my church family, who mothers me like a hen broods over her chicks. I want to take this opportunity to thank Pastor Troy for his spiritual guidance and for all of you for caring so much for me. Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for laughter and for tears. We pray for fond memories and hard times. We sing like Job sang, you give, you take away, but in all things, blessed be the name of the Lord. Help us to trust you. We thank you for the voices of faith that encourage us to trust you. It isn't just you alone, though you alone speak mightily, but actually people believe and follow and can say, yes, even though I do not see all things, I trust you. Help us to trust your lead. Help us to trust your word. Help us to trust you'll never leave us alone. And help us to trust that you will, yes, one day, wipe all tears away. For in this we have our hope and our faith in the one who came and laid down his life for us, our Lord, our Savior, our Rock, our Redeemer, who trusted his Father unto the end. We thank you for him. In Jesus' name, amen.